This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. Laura Bowling is with us this morning, and we're going to be talking about the Circuit Court Clerk in Rutherford County. Laura, first of all, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bart. How are you this
Doing
morning?
Great. Good to have you with us on leap year day.
I know.
See, that makes it special. That's why you're here today.
Okay.
To help us celebrate leap year day.
There you go.
First of all, what does the circuit court clerk do?
Okay. The circuit court clerk is responsible for all the records and the money in the court system. And the simple way that I explain what the circuit court does is to use an analogy of a Subway sandwich shop. Everybody's been to a Subway. When you come in to that Subway sandwich shop, you can order whatever kind of bread, whatever kind of meat, whatever kind of toppings, and then it slides down the line and the customer pays for it. So in essence, we're that sandwich maker. You come into the court and you tell us what you're going to do. We put that together for you and we move that on to the judiciary, to the judges, and we charge you for it. So it's a very simple process. You can have a wonderfully detailed, beautiful sandwich, or you can have a tuna with pepperoni and provolone on a flatbread, which doesn't sound very good, but we're going to be able to charge you for that anyway.
Well, now, does that sandwich change as time can it change? I mean, sometimes you start out simple and it seems like it could get complex.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So obviously, in my realm of responsibility, we're responsible for the General Sessions Court, which is a court of first appearance, the circuit courts, circuit civil and circuit criminal, which are higher courts, and the juvenile court, clerk's offices. So all of those offices obviously have a different level of responsibility, a different authority, and a different amount of detail in the process.
And so your job is the one who does, I guess, the bookkeeping of putting together and the order, who gets it next, and it just keeps everything organized.
Absolutely. And let me make this clear, though. I've got an incredible staff of about 40 people who make that look incredibly simple. I am there to really guide that office and to really make sure that we're doing for the people what needs to happen. But my staff on a daily basis is helping customers really navigate something that for the most part they're not really interested in being involved in. When you get a speeding ticket, you really don't want to have to come to court. You know, if you've got a divorce or you've got a child custody issue, it's a really difficult situation. And it's the responsibility of our staff to try and smooth that process and make that a little bit easier of a difficult situation.
So you cover virtually everything that goes through the court systems. I had not even thought about the speeding tickets.
You know? Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So it's we've got straight traffic court. We've got misdemeanors. We've got general session civil court, which is cases under $25,000. Then, of course, circuit civil, which is divorces, child custody situations, larger lawsuits, medical malpractice, those kinds of things. And then, of course, circuit criminal, which is a higher court, and then the juvenile court. Mm-hmm. So
neighbors who are angry with each other, that goes through your office?
Well,
first?
That can go through my office or can go through Chancery. Chancery court is also available in the civil arena as another a location that people can use. And it's a court of estate as well.
Now, let's compare the amount of cases, I guess we could call these, who come through your office this past year compared to previous years? What kind of growth are you seeing?
Well, I do have some statistics on that. In 1990, total case filings in this county were 18,599. Mm-hmm. In 2011, they were, let me see if I've got the updated number, 2011, 47,488 cases came through. So we're talking of over 120% increase in 20 years in the volume of business that comes through the court system.
Over 120% increase?
Yes, absolutely.
Are other counties seeing that kind of growth in those services?
I think ours is unique because we've had such an incredible growth in population. It really points to our growth in population. When that courthouse was built in 1980, there were 84,000 people in Rutherford County. That now there are 262,000 people in Rutherford County. So it's just I think it's a volume. Certainly from last year, 2010 to 2011, there was even a 15% increase of case filings as well. So I don't know if that could be attributed to the economy. I think that it can be attributed to the economy because there's a lot more cases in our general sessions civil court and our general sessions criminal court as well. And you know, people are just stressed, and they're stressed financially, and they're that's coming out in maybe speeding, forgetting to get their tags, things like that, that when you're other focused, you kind of forget about those things.
And so your workload is increasing, the number of cases that come through your court.
Absolutely.
Through your office.
Absolutely. And I think one of the challenges that we face is the fact that we are using a computer system mm-hmm. that's from 1989. So we're actively looking at how do we improve that process, because a lot of the frustration and a lot of the delay in our systems come from that computer case management system, the extra steps that we have to go through because our system is so old. And so we're really looking at how we can improve that so that we can improve the service that we give our customers, because they are customers.
Now, do you have regular meetings, association meetings, I guess, with other court clerks in other counties and compare notes and what have you?
Absolutely. It's actually, I'm constitutionally mandated to go to a state clerks of court conference every year with all of the other clerks. And that's where you actually learn how to do what you do on a daily basis, because you have such a wealth of experience. And then there are two more conferences that I have an opportunity to send my team to so that they can interact with other clerks from other counties and learn what's going on. In fact, at one of the conferences, that's where I learned about court collections and how to implement a court collections department in our court. And so that's something that we've done this year, is actually implement a court collections office.
Now, as our General Assembly meets, and they're meeting right now, the 107th General Assembly, they come out with new regulations that stop old regulations and supersede them with something new, something different to do. Do those situations change what you do also?
Every year. Every July 1st, we have to get...
How do you keep up with it?
Very carefully. Very carefully. We actually have an association, county officials... COAT is, I can't remember the actual acronym, that helps us keep up with all of the bills that affect each of the different offices. And then I actually put that on the ticker, the RSS feed on the Tennessee.gov website, and I look at that every day to see what's happening with those bills that would affect the circuit court. And then it's just a matter of, okay, did it pass? All right, now we've got to implement this. And that can take the form of putting in a new policy, new forms. It can raise rates, raise taxes to the defendants or to the plaintiffs, and we've got to have that adjustment made in our computer software. So it's an interesting challenge.
So, and that's probably ongoing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Every July, it's a matter of what new laws have changed, what new laws have come out. And our state clerks of court conference is always in September. So that gives us an opportunity to review those changes that have happened and really make sure that we've implemented them all.
You know, you think about how computers help all of us in our everyday life. Mm-hmm. I would hate to think what it would have been like before computers, with all these changes that are constantly happening in the laws.
Well, I'm not certain that it was that. I think it would probably be just a tidge easier from the perspective of how much has to happen snowballing through that computer software program. Different pieces of information and data that we have to collect, changing financial buckets or financial accounts, if you will. It's actually a very detailed process in the computer system, and that's what we're hoping to achieve with a new computer system, to make that a little bit more manageable in the future.
Tell us a little about that new computer system. How is it being put together? Is it a state project, or is it a nationwide project?
Well, it's not a state project. There is a state software out there. We are actually looking at all vendors that can provide software. I came from a business background, so I had some familiarity with some different kinds of software and what the potential was out there. And so we worked with the county OIT department to actually hire a project manager through County IoT. His name is Wilkie Buchanan. Love him. He has been so helpful in the process of finding vendors, helping us review those vendors, and hopefully within the next month, maybe month and a half, we'll be putting out a competitive bid for that. And really, we took the stance of, are we just going to change the clerk's office and just change what we do, or are we going to change how the clerk interacts with all of the other offices? And so we're really looking at that second option of how can we help the DA and the PD's office work better? How can we help the judiciary work better? How can we help the attorneys in the community work better? Not just how can the clerks work better, because this really is an opportunity to develop a system that will last us 20 years because we want it to, not 20 years because we're stuck with it. And so that's our focus. Hopefully in the next month and a half we'll have that bid out and we can really start making a change.
Now, you're in your first term, is that right?
I am indeed.
Is it what you thought it would be?
It is everything and more. I pinch myself every morning getting up going, I get to do this every day. It is absolutely not a job. It is the most awesome service opportunity I've ever had in my life. And I look at my role as being a public servant, not just to the people here in the community, but especially to my staff. I'm there to serve them, and how can I make their job on a daily basis easier, more efficient, better, so that they have more job satisfaction as well.
Is this your first community service type job that you ever
had? I actually spent a couple of years with Habitat for Humanity. I was an AmeriCorps volunteer in 2004 through 2007, and loved that service as well. I encourage being an AmeriCorps volunteer to anyone, because it really does give you an opportunity to make a difference in the community. And then, of course, service opportunities in the church and my church and things like that. But this is the first time I've ever done anything in the political arena as an actual public servant.
Well, let's go to the phones and take some phone calls. Our number is 893-1450 if you'd like to join us this morning, 893-1450. And good morning. You're on WGNS with Circuit Court Clerk Laura Bowling. How are you today?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I've got one question.
Okay.
My question is kind of a off-the-board thinking. As a county clerk, as an elected official, just like we have in the role of superintendent and tax assessors and the sheriff and rest of those elected officials, do you think that maybe that should be changed to a regular, like a mayor or HR job, like the other jobs like clerks get through the HR, you know, you apply for it. I just thought about that, and I just want to see what your answer is, and I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you. Sure. What about that? Should it? Do you have any strong feelings of whether it should be elected or
I think all politics is local, mm-hmm. and so if the local community is very committed to being active in politics and really holding their elected officials accountable, it really gives the community an opportunity to make a difference in what's happening. Now, everything that I do is constitutionally mandated. The position, the role of a circuit court clerk is in the state the TCA code, so it's an elected position. That means that I'm not just accountable to the mayor or to the commission, I'm accountable to the individual people. And the way I react to, for example, legislation that is proposed, I'm looking at it from a perspective of not just the bottom line, but how is that legislation going to affect the customer? Because it's really, when we're talking about what you pay, it's taxes. It's still taxes, even though it's a fine or a fee. It's a tax, and we've got to be very careful about how much more we tax an individual because they happen to have made a mistake, as opposed to you happen to have some property. So I would still be strongly in favor of us being elected offices, because you still have that accountability.
You know, your staff that stays with you there, mm-hmm. year in, year out, no matter who is in charge, that staff gives you the stability. And I guess, like you say, the elected person to head up the staff, that gives the public input into how each office is run. And if you don't think it's run properly, you put a different person in office.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Our phone number is 893-1450. Laura Bowling is with us this morning. She is our Rutherford County Circuit Court Clerk. We're going to check on the traffic and weather. We'll be back, and we'll take some more phone calls. If you have any questions for Laura, the number is 893-1450. 893-1450.
All is stripped away. And I simply come, longing just to breathe something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. Search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to
Good Neighbor Talk focuses totally on the issues that impact the heart of Tennessee.
Oh yeah?
This is your radio station, WGNS Murfreesboro.
Get a 2012 Ford Escape at Ford of Murfreesboro today and get up to $2,000 cash back, or 0% APR for 60 months with $500 cash back. This excludes tax, title, registration, and the $499 dealer fee. The 2012 Ford Escape, up to $2,000 cash back today at Ford of Murfreesboro, on Broad at Northfield, or online at fordofmurfreesboro.com.
Hello, I'm Greg Tidwell from Bell Jewelers. We carry the full line of Tag Heuer watches, all at 15% off every day. Our in-house watch technicians will replace the batteries and pressure test all Tag watches for half the price of other stores in our area. Bring it into Bell Jewelers.
Bell Jewelers on Broad Street in Murfreesboro, across from Toots.
Roberts Discount Auto Repair on Broad, across from Ford of Murfreesboro. Honest, personal, and professional service for your car. Roberts Discount Auto Repair at 896-1407. We care, and we're here to help.
Good morning. We still have the possibility of some slippery conditions on the secondaries because of last night's rainfall. We have forecasts for some severe weather possibly moving through the area between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. today. So you may want to anticipate that because some of those storms could occur and cause some problems for our drivers. We're also still dealing with the accident I-24 eastbound. This is just past the I-440 junction there at mile marker 52. Get a $49 introductory massage at Massage Envy today. Gift cards available for any occasion. Massage Envy, Cool Springs, Bellevue, Brentwood, and Green Hills. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. What about that Murfreesboro weather? We're looking at storms. Let's take a close look at that.
For today, we'll see showers and thunderstorms. Some of these storms can be on the strong side with our highs in the mid-70s. Then for tonight, we'll see a chance of showers and storms through the evening with our lows in the middle 40s. I'm WGNS meteorologist Greg Tatro. Right now, it's 68.
WGNS weather brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. If you're thinking about buying a home or refinancing a home, see Becky Walker or Jonathan Bolden at First National Mortgage Services, 2230 Mercury Boulevard, an equal housing lender.
Good Neighbor Talk covers issues you won't hear anywhere else. WGNS, Murfreesboro. FM 100.5, 101.9, AM 1450, TV 11.
When the night has come and the land is dark and the moon is the only light we'll see.
And if you just tuned in, Easton Arnold is our birthday cake winner from this morning over at Junior's Foodland, Easton Arnold. And since this is a leap year that they were born on, this adult is only 12 years old. Pretty neat, isn't it? And Carla May in the Black Fox School cafeteria receives flowers from Ryan's as our good neighbor of the day. Wouldn't you like to, here you are, a grown adult, and somebody says, how old are you?
12.
Yeah, that'd I be like nice. That.
Well, we connect that way. Probably not.
People say I do.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, 893-1450 is our phone number. This is a leap year day, and Circuit Court Clerk Laura Bowling is with us, and she's here to answer any questions that you might have dealing with the Circuit Court Clerk. 893-1450. I understand there's a new law that was put into effect, and it deals with driver's licenses and any criminal charges that you might have had. That's just another little thing for you to keep up with.
Absolutely. This happened last July. Mm-hmm. So this was implemented last July. Mm-hmm. It's Tennessee Code Annotated 4024105. It is the requirement that if you've not paid all of your criminal charges within 1 year, our office shall suspend your driver's license. So it's not just for driving-related offenses. It's for any criminal charge. So if you write a bad check, you have any other misdemeanor, maybe drug possession or anything like that, you have the responsibility to pay that within 1 year, or we in our office are by this code supposed to suspend your driver's license. Now, that's for any charges after July 1st of 2011. So we'll really not see an impact on that until August or September of this year, because the charge has to have happened, they have to have been adjudicated guilty, and not paid the totality of their fine. So in order to kind of address that in advance, we have a collections office in our court that helps people set up payment arrangements. The law does not say that we get to honor that payment arrangement in advance of that year. So we're hoping to get some clarification at our State Clerks of Court conference coming up here in May on what the Department of Safety is really expecting us to do. But I want to make sure that folks understand if they've got a criminal charge, they can't pay it all, they're not on probation, for whatever reason, set up a payment plan, at least with our collections office, so that they have an opportunity to at least be in good standing.
I wonder if, in the heat of all of the things that are happening in court, and your mind, if you're the person being convicted, your mind is probably just full of all sorts of things.
Absolutely.
Do you know when you leave there? I wonder if you know all that has really happened to you. And now I wonder if they realize, I have a year to pay this off.
I know that our judges are letting folks know in court. Obviously, if you're on probation, your probationer is going to help you work through that situation. But if you're not, the judges are making sure that they mention that in court. There's probably 15 posters dotted all over the courthouse telling people about this notice. It's on the elevator, it's on the when you walk in the door. So hopefully people are reading that as they're waiting and they're understanding that. But I have a feeling that it's going to be quite a shock to some people when they get that letter from the Department of Safety saying their driver's license has been suspended. And so we're just really trying to head that off before we get to that point where people are actually going to be.
And you hope that they get the letter.
Yes.
I mean, because I would imagine people move around
sometimes. Absolutely. Especially a lot of folks don't change that driver's license address. So the Department of Safety is going to mail it to that driver's license address. So the process of having some kind of criminal charge is so difficult anyway. This is one of those kinds of things as a clerk. As the Clerks Association, we wanted this to be permissive. We wanted this to be optional in each of the counties because some of us didn't really support this idea of... imagine having a restitution fine of $250,000 for a criminal white-collar felony of some kind. According to this law, I have to suspend your driver's license if you don't pay that off in a year. How are you going to pay off $250,000 in a year? And that's happened recently. So this is the kind of stuff that makes it difficult for us as clerks to really help the constituents out there, because we're bound by this. We have to follow this law.
Out of curiosity, and this would show the magnitude of the problem, how many people are convicted, say, in a year, here in Rutherford County alone? And those are the people who have the potential, they don't pay their bills, of losing their license.
If we're looking at the number of, case filings in, we're talking about 25,000 criminal cases filed a year. If even just 10% of those folks, I don't have the actual statistics for convictions, but even if just 10, that's 2,500 people that could have their license suspended if they don't pay for their fines.
And that's strictly criminal.
That's just criminal.
And so this is all of them.
It's all
civil, the whole bit.
Well, this is not for civil. I mean, this is not for civil.
Okay, this is strictly criminal.
This is strictly criminal. So if you've gotten a moving traffic violation or some other kind of criminal charge, even if it's not driving related, you're still going to be responsible for paying those criminal fines.
So
in 1 year.
A moving traffic violation is criminal?
It is, absolutely. You're a criminal if you get a speeding ticket.
So if you are stopped out there and you haven't paid your speeding ticket, even if you've gone to court or and you think it's resolved.
Yes.
Let's say it was in another state.
I don't think this law applies to, this law does not apply to anything out of state. This is all for cases here in our counties here. So, but if you got a speeding ticket in Davidson County and didn't pay it, Davidson County's clerk could suspend your driver's license for non-payment of that. That's why it's not permissive. It's anywhere you get any kind of criminal charge anywhere in the state, you're risking losing your driver's license.
Now, I know how our listeners think, and they're out there, their mind is turning right now, and they're thinking, red light cameras. Do those count? Is that, I mean, that's a moving violation, but it's a different kind.
I do not believe that they're the same. And also, that's in the municipalities as well. I mean, that's Murfreesboro City.
Ah, so we this has to be a state issue.
This is a state issue.
Even more complicated.
Yeah. There are layers upon layers. It's kind of like an onion sometimes. So
I don't see how you keep up with things.
Well, like I said, I've got a great staff. There's great resources out there, and it's just a matter of there's not a way to know every situation that's going to happen. Even when I came into office and we were being trained by seasoned clerks in that very first week that we were in office, that seasoned clerk that was doing the training experienced something that she had never experienced in her 16 years of office just that week prior. So there's not a possible way to anticipate every single thing that's going to happen. But there are resources out there. There's no reason why we can't find the answers for folks. It's just a matter of experiencing that thing and then reacting to it.
Now, you had said earlier that you are directed by law to do certain things. Mm-hmm. There's no question as to what happens. As we talk more about this, you hear about the gray areas of the law. It sounds like those pop up have the potential of popping up a lot.
Well, there's really not, for us, there's really not gray areas. We file the documents and we collect the money.
So that's it,
period. That's mm-hmm. pretty much it. It's when, for example, in 2010, they came out with instruction guidelines for Tennessee clerks who assist self-represented persons, in other words, pro se litigants. And they came out with new guidelines that strictly prohibited us as clerks from telling pro se litigants what they can do in a particular situation. So it's created some frustration for the staff, certainly, who's been there 30 years.
And you all
and they know exactly what to do, but they can't say, well, it would really be a good idea if you file a motion. They can't say that.
How do the people find this out?
Well, that's one of the things I really wanted to talk about was there are several websites out there that can help folks navigate through the process so that when they come into that court, especially if they're perhaps filing a lawsuit on their own as a pro se litigant, they've got some resources to answer some questions in advance. And all of these links are on the Rutherford County Circuit Court Clerk's website, which of course is rutherfordcountytn.gov/courts. So that's our website. But there's a new website from the AOC, which is the Administrative Office of Courts, called justiceforalltn.org. And four is foralltn.org. And that's a very simple, here's some definitions, some terms, unified forms that the Administrative Office of Courts, have developed, and how to find a lawyer, how to get help. So that's a good place to start. And there's also another website called Online Tennessee Justice, which is onlinetnjustice.org. Where if you qualify, if you're a low-income person, you can actually get help online from an attorney. So you can actually put your question in, and an attorney will answer your question back. So there's a couple of online resources. And then, of course, Greenhouse Ministries, every Thursday afternoon at 4 o'clock, has a free legal clinic.
Oh, okay.
So there are ways that people who don't know how to navigate the system, can't afford an attorney, there are ways for them to at least get answers, so they're not so frustrated.
I know you can't answer questions for people,
mm-hmm.
but can you, obviously you can tell them to go to that website.
Right.
Can you also tell them that there is a legal clinic at Greenhouse Ministries such and such?
Absolutely. Okay. And we can, the guidelines tell us we can help a person fill out a form if they need help, but we can't tell them what to put on that form. We can't tell them the words to say. We can just, if especially if they're illiterate or things like that.
That's what I'm thinking. How do they know what to put?
It's been very, very frustrating for our clerks who want to help folks, but we're now being kind of reined back in how much we can actually help you. So I want people to understand that we're frustrated as well by this new guideline that's kind of...
When was this put in?
This was put in 2010. It was approved in September of 2010. So it's just been around a couple of years. And like I said, we've got staff that have been there 30-plus years.
Oh, yeah.
They know what the next step is. And really, our clerks, we have to know what the next step is. But we're kind of prohibited from what we can actually share with that person on the other side of the counter. So it makes it hard for people to access justice, and that's what's frustrating for us.
You know, you look at people who would apply for a job in an office like the one you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Those are not people who just don't care about people. Oh. They care about people, or they wouldn't want to do that. I mean, that would be
absolutely
tragic to work in an office like that if you just hated people and didn't care about anybody and just wanted...
I don't think any of my staff hates people. They all love what they do.
And then to tell them, you can't help people.
Yeah.
You can't tell people what you know.
It's very hard. We have to be very careful about not being in the law business or practicing law. That's the definition.
Is that the reason? Or yes. Are they afraid you're going to be sued? Or are you protecting lawyers trying to keep them in business?
No. I think it's a matter of it's a he said, she said situation. Quite frequently when you come into a court, the plaintiff or the defendant is going to say, well, the clerk told me to... And it's not, we've not told them exactly to do anything. This protects us and protects the whole process. I get what they're trying to do. It protects the process to make sure that the process is clean. It just makes it difficult for us to really help people when they come into that court, because a lot of folks just don't know where to turn. And that's why I hope that they can find that of those answers.
Our phone number is 893-1450. Things are changing. And we, of course, you've known that over the years. 893-1450 is our number. We're going to check on the weather, and we'll be back and continue the conversation today. We're learning all about our court system, especially from the viewpoint of the circuit court clerk. And that is Laura Bowling here in Rutherford County. If you have a question about the system, give us a call. 893-1450. Laura is here to help you. And so far, she hadn't said she couldn't answer that question, so give us a call.
It's a lonelier place. I kiss the morning goodbye, but down inside, you know we never know why.
The GNS in our call stands for Good Neighbor Station. That's been our objective since 1947. Good Neighbor Talk on WGNS Murfreesboro.
Southeastern Tire of Murfreesboro has the right tires for your vehicle. Perhaps you're a rugged individual who enjoys off-roading. They have a tire for you. Or maybe you're a rap star driving around on 26-inch rims. They have a tire for that. You're a mom who's in the carpool lane daily. They have a tire for your minivan. Let's say you're a wealthy trial lawyer who drives a Lamborghini. Yes, they have a tire for you too. Maybe you drive one of those new electric vehicles. Hey, they have a tire for you. Southeastern Tire Service has a tire for every personality. They're on Broad Street, a tire or two away from Chevy of Murfreesboro.
Family Staffing Solutions.
Without the caregivers, there would be no way I could have survived this alone. I had gotten to the point where nothing made any difference.
Stay independent at home.
Being old is not a punishment. It's a very significant phase of life.
Becky Buchner with Family Staffing Solutions.
Check out all the options you have before you make a decision.
Family Staffing Solutions. Thinking about your parents. We can be there when you're not. 848-6774. Online at familystaffing.com.
Heritage South Community Credit Union now has a new home, 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire.
This is Darlene Robinson, branch manager. I invite you to visit us soon and find out what your community's credit union is all about. We offer free debit cards and great checking, plus exceptional rates on loans and savings. You can join if you live, work, worship, or attend school in Rutherford, Bedford, or Marshall County.
Heritage South Community Credit Union, new offices at 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire. Federally insured by the NCUA.
WeatherEye.
Where today we'll see showers and thunderstorms. Some of these storms can be on the strong side with our highs in the mid-70s. Then for tonight we'll see a chance of showers and storms through the evening with our lows in the middle 40s. I'm WGNS meteorologist Greg Tatro. Right now, it's 68.
Now friends, if you haven't been to Bell Furniture, you've been spending too much on your furniture and not getting the quality. Bell Furniture has the Serta Leather Sectional. Regular $10.99, they have it for $7.49. They have some beautiful chaise lounges, too. And Perry Bell wanted me to tell you that everything at Bell Furniture is made in America. Bell Furniture, 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
There is an underground civilization underneath of the North American continent.
It's Coast to Coast AM,
overnight, every night, on WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Welcome back. 893-1450 is our number. We're having fun this morning. We're talking about the court system. Let's hear it for them.
In this world, if you read the papers down, you know everybody's fighting on with each other. You got no one you can count on, baby, not even your brother.
893-1450 is our phone number. Houston Arnold, 12 years old. Not really. He's an adult, but it's leap year. He's 12 years old. And he's our birthday cake winner. Houston, good morning to you. 893-1450 is our number. 893-1450. I'm not sure about get it while you can, dealing with the court system, but let's go back to the phones. You're on WGNS with Laura Bowling. How are you today?
Good morning. How you all doing?
We're doing great.
To the young lady there. What are your take on the privatization of jailhouses, penitentiaries in this country?
Wow. I don't really even have a take on that, sir.
Actually, you don't?
No, I can contemplate that, but I'm
what
actually...
What is your department?
I'm focused on the clerks of court, the filing of documents. So while we interact with the sheriff's office, we interact with the local law enforcement agencies. We don't have any authority, any relationship in how they actually run their business.
See, that's one of the problems with this country, period. We got too many departments going on and really not getting anything done. Because, you know, it's a shame, just last night I was watching TV, we've got more people arrested and locked up in this country than anywhere in the world. We got more laws than anybody. Are we really progressing anything?
Hold on, let me connect you with the right office to help you out there.
I sure want to talk to them. Because I tell you what, we throwing away a lot of money, but we're not getting anything for our money.
And we're going in circles sometimes.
Thank you. We've been talking about this for 15 years.
Yeah, we were talking during that commercial break, Laura and I were talking, and it sort of seems like you're almost like a preacher, and the people who control the preacher come in and say, okay, it's okay to preach and spread the word and what have you, but you can't give any advice. You can't help them out. Instead, you can say, go to this book in the Bible and read that for yourself.
Right,
but
right.
And that's basically what we're seeing today.
Well, Bart, didn't the kid just shoot up a class the other day?
Yeah, uh-huh. Up in Ohio.
It just won't go away, will it?
No. I think we're seeing a dramatic change in society, and I don't know how to turn it around.
I don't know.
Hello, somebody. Have a good day. I just thought I'd
help.
Thank you.
All right, take it easy.
Bye-bye. 893-1450. You know, maybe it's things like we're just seeing it gradually changing.
Right.
It used to be probably people would come in, and your staff who has all this experience, they could say, oh, yeah, let me help you get that and show you what to do next so it's done properly.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that.
Right, we can't. And the AOC recognizes that they've created a challenge, and they're trying to address that for pro se litigants, for people who represent themselves, but it's such a challenge.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Laura Bowling. How are you today?
Doing just fine. I got a question for you, yes.
Okay.
My son, he was involved in... I don't know what you might call it, but him and it was he and some old guys, and he got a felony charge, and he wasn't the one, and they dismissed him, and the guy that really did whatever they were doing, he's been serving time for about a year now, and every time he goes try to find a job or something, they still have a felony charge on his, you know, on his record, and they were supposed to take it off, and he had to go to court this morning. He said he was going up at a, he had to go back to court to face the judge where they can, you know, get it off his record.
Yes.
And what I'm wanting to know, would he, is he going to have to pay any more money to go back to the judge, which they cleared him of this, this year, and but they still didn't take it off his record. Now he's got to go to the judge to get it cleared, you know, get it off of there where he can maybe find a job.
Well, I can't speak to your specific situation because I don't have that case file obviously in front of me, but obviously when you... when an individual wants to get a record expunged, they do have to go in front of the judge. They and there are charges, expungement or expungement charges, that go along with that process. So I can't speak to this specific case, but there are fees, $150 fees and up, that go along with that process. So there is, unfortunately, going to be some more money in that process.
That is really sad. And
yes.
I mean, you know, this is money that he's going to have to pay in, which he don't have a job in, plus on an old case that they didn't take it off his record, but now he got to go back up there to get it cleared and then be out of more money. That's all I wanted to know. Just have a great day.
Thank you.
And I guess, is that the one, if we carried that a step farther, going on to that law that we had talked about earlier in the program, if he cannot pay that money, if he goes to court, he's created a bill and can't pay that money because he doesn't have a job, then you come along and take away his driver's license. Is that right?
In the case of this, an expungement, that's something that he's taking action to do. He can't do that expungement without paying for it.
Okay, so if you pay then, you have to pay then or you don't do it.
Yeah, he can... The judge can say your record is expunged, but he still has to pay the fee to have that process done.
So he can go to court, the judge can make the ruling, but until he pays,
it's not expunged.
Yes,
exactly. Because we actually delete it from the case file. We don't keep that.
Does he have a period of time that he can get the money, earn it?
Absolutely. Okay. There's not a... Once it's been adjudicated that you can have your record expunged, it's just a matter of you paying for that expungement. Wow. So,
Laura, I really appreciate your taking time to visit today. Because you have cleared up a lot of questions. I mean, most of us have no clue what's happening in different offices of our government. And you've really opened the door and let us know.
I appreciate you letting me have a chance. And I hope I never see you in my office.
I hope I don't either, unless I'm up there to check out a news story or something.
There you go.
So now, if people have any additional questions, can they? But you can't answer the questions, can you?
they can. We can certainly speak in generalities. If I give the numbers out, I'd love to. 898-7820 is the civil court. And 898-7831 is the General Sessions Criminal Court. And 7812 is our circuit criminal court.
Circuit Court Clerk Laura Bowling visiting with us this morning. Tomorrow we're going to be talking lawns and gardens. And with springtime in the air, I think the time is appropriate. Be aware, some storms coming in. WGNS will keep you informed. We'll walk our way hand in hand through those storms.